Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. How are you doing? Bettina, how are you?
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. We're on the air.
Yeah. I'm all put off. I asked the audience how they're doing with obviously no chance of feedback.
Well, we'll just have to trust that they're fine.
Yes, I know. We were talking off the show, before the show, and we were having a nice little conversation talking about Bettina's week, and she's doing a big choir show in downtown Toronto, and you know, the show time started, and I'm like, something's off, and we forgot to start the show, really. So I had to scramble. Oh, man. Normally we get prompts. We're just too busy in the conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It happens.
Life. It happens.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You have a choir show in downtown Toronto. Is that tomorrow, you said?
Yeah, tomorrow evening. There's a big gala event down at the Royal York, black tie event, and our pop choir is going to be singing three songs for the guests. So I was just practicing before we went on air. And, I stand in the front row, so.
You have to be good.
Put it this way. Yeah, I got to, I can't just lip sync it.
Yeah, have it pumped in like it was Ashley Simpson and all those Millie Vanilli and all those artists. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
So how's your week been?
My week has been really, really good.
Good.
Really good. A lot of really interesting and enlightening things have come to the surface, which is good. I'm pretty much in a different place than I was 6, 7, 8 months ago. Well, over the last 6 or 7 or 8 months, it's just another. It's really interesting, the whole idea of how we fight against our emotions, especially the ones that are not so nice, or that we judge to be not so nice, and just being able to look at it and say, my emotions are that beautiful gift that shows me what it is I need to look at. Mm. It's a whole different way of looking at it, and I've really been paying attention to that and really looking at what they're trying to tell me and really ready to move to a different place. Well, I think I'm already in that different place, but really ready to resonate and be and live from that different place.
Mm-hmm. And how do you mean different place? How is it like kind of visceral to you?
Well, there's that awareness of a whole lot more fear that I was hiding from. You know, because the fear is there. It's not like it wasn't there before. It's always been there. But we tend to find nice little hiding spots to put it and nice little distractions to avoid it and all sorts of interesting ways to deny it. So, and there comes a point, I think, in everyone's life, whether it's throughout their life at some point or at the end of their life, where all those things are still there to be acknowledged and to be looked at and to be understood. And so the fear, which has been quite a theme throughout my life, came up on a few different levels. And just knowing that there's things I have to do. If I want what I want, there's things I have to do, and I have to stop allowing the fear to be my excuse.
Right.
Which sounds pretty simple, but it's actually quite big.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like, you know, on the topic of fear, and certainly I felt it so many places in my life and still do, I feel like when we react to the fear, you know, when we do the, you know, we try to escape or we try to hide from it, or try to like do things where it doesn't like trigger it, we kind of stay in a place of like stagnation where we don't, you know, it feels so good in life to be like a creative force, a creative life energy, and to be able to create beautiful situations in your life, whether that manifests as people or, you know, work situations or, you know, just the way in which we interact with our environment. And it feels so good to feel confident in our creative ability in our life. And I feel like when we are reacting or running from fear, that it's very, very difficult to tap into that. And we often stay in places that we know aren't good for us, but that we don't really want to, you know, travel through the fear or the ugly stuff to get free from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know what I always say, that the fear is always at its highest and most intense point at that moment before you cross over the threshold of it and into it. And once you walk into it and step over that threshold, there's really nothing there at all. And the problem is that we spend our lives standing on the threshold, looking, you know, over there, over there, over there, over there, you know, putting our hand on the door handle and taking it off and lifting our foot and putting it down because, you know, someone stopped to talk to us or we've found something interesting to look at over there. And you know, it's interesting how we use it as an excuse to stay stagnant, to stay right where we are, to not go past our comfort level and just, but then we're unhappy because we're not living our lives to the fullest in the way we want to. And yet we're stopping ourselves because we're comfortable being uncomfortable. It's a whole, you know, sort of loop we get into, and it becomes life. And that's for me now, that's not life for me anymore. I've really got to move beyond that because it's become very clear to me what I want. And it has also become very clear to me what I have to do to get that. And if that's what I truly want and know that I must be doing, then I need to do certain things that scare the bejeebers out of me to get it. But it's going to be a huge growth for me, and I don't have a choice at this point. I'm at that point where I don't have a choice. And so I'm moving forward.
I really love what you said about, we don't act and we don't move in the area of what we know our heart's intention, our soul's intention is. And I love that you say, it really resonates with me. You know, we become comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, we know, and we, like, you know, we're being stagnant and we know it. And we are comfortable with that level of discomfort. It's like, yeah, I know that I'm stagnating. Yeah, I know that I'm not moving forward. But I'm okay here because it's really, really scary to have to get through the things I need to actually create the life that I want. And you're absolutely right about the fear being greatest on the threshold, because once you do it, even if everything blows up, you know, and you lose what you think you were barely hanging on to, you get to this place where all of a sudden your entire life is freed up in a way. You know, if it is somebody who like leaves you, or you leave them, or you leave a work situation, or you leave a habit that you've been doing forever that you no longer want to do, you know, then you realize you have this wide open space. And then we remember how much of unbelievably creative force that we are as human beings. I mean, just look around us. I mean, if you just look at your computer screen or your iPod or the television or stereo or houses, like, it's amazing what humans can do. It's truly remarkable what we can build, and how creative we are. And then we have this wide open space in front of us where we can just create. It's just beautiful. It's like taking down all your Legos and putting them back in the box and then getting to start all over again. And that's a really energizing proposition.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, fear is very limiting. It puts us in a little box and paralyzes us. And the thing is, it's not even real. It's something that is a thought. It's a thought. And thoughts aren't real.
Yeah.
So we're allowing this lie to run our lives and say we're living in our truth. Well, no, we're not. We're not living in our truth. We're living in a lie. And we're choosing to believe a thought as being something real and concrete and worth being. You know, I mean, we're afraid of the fear itself, right? But, you know, we allow it to rule our lives, and that's where we get caught up, and that's how we limit ourselves and how we stay stuck in places that we don't like, whether it's a relationship or a job or a life choice of any kind or a certain weight or a certain mm-hmm. physical condition or whatever it is. It's that fear that keeps us in that small. Makes a very small world. It's like a prison.
Yeah, yeah. Everything you say is absolutely true. I like that. You know, it is. It does keep our world small. It keeps our life small. It keeps us in a prison. Our own. You know, we can't think ourselves out of the box we've reinforced ourselves into. Like I just love that line. And all these habits sometimes, you know, can make our lives small and constrictive. And it's because, you know, we're afraid to move out of it. And for sometimes some very real fears. But it's kind of untenable, really. I mean, when you think about, you know, I know at times in my life and still times that are upcoming in my life where I'm going to have to make a change in something. And, you know, it feels scary to make to take that first big, bold step. But you know, really the situation is that I know that I can't go on like 9 more years like this. It's an untenable situation if I don't act. I'm just afraid to actually make this moment the one in which I act in the direction of my dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. That's beautiful. It piggybacks on the topic that I wanted to get to today in that it's, you know, sometimes we, you know, sometimes, I mean, actually I think this is a great bridge to it because, you know, sometimes when we know that we have a change that we want to make or we look at our lives, you know, and we know something's nagging at us and we know it's not our life. It's not the life that we want to be living right this second. And so we know that there's change to be made. And sometimes we can trick ourselves into inaction by thinking that we're, you know, by meditating more or, you know, all these tools are super, super important to live a life and to find your direction. But once you know, it's time to act rather than sometimes we kind of delay ourselves by, you know, saying, oh, I need to get a little bit more ready or, you know, the myriad of ways in which we can delay ourselves thinking that we're making progress without actually taking the actual bold, big, bold physical step to move in the direction of our dreams. And I know that sometimes it piggybacks also because it can have this long-term, low-resonating feeling of dissatisfaction in our lives. And sometimes, you know, we look, how can I be happy? You know, can I be happy in this situation if I just meditate more, if I just spend more time, you know, doing spiritual practices, if I make pros and cons list or whatever it is that we reach to, that's a tool for us. Once we understand that there's a place where we want to go and we're not there, I mean, really, it's just all about action. And, you know, when we talk about looking for happiness in our lives, which really is, you know, the base pursuit of so many of the things that we want, desire, and want to create, it's living a life where you get to wake up and do what you want, you know, the majority of the time is really foundational to living a happy life and feeling that joy and happiness in our lives. I know that we can all look around at situations in our life where we're not moving in the direction of doing something that we want, and we know that kind of holds back our joy, our present moment joy, And sometimes I just kind of wanted to make today's show sometimes a little bit about, sometimes we rely too much on tools that delay our action, and really what leads to a beautiful, happy life and makes you feel great and excited to live is basically doing what you want the majority of the time, saying be damned to the things that I think I should be doing or the roles I have played. It's time for me to kind of shed that skin and move into a new life of creation and a new life of expression of how I want to live every moment.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting topic, and what you say about getting caught up in the all the tools and everything that you need to have a peaceful life, but it doesn't mean you don't do what you want. I think people get really confused by that. Oh, you know, I'm gonna learn how to meditate, and then I'm going to love everyone in the world, and I never get to do what I want, and I always have to be kind even when I don't. No, that's not what it's about at all. It's about still being human, still having all those human emotions and experiences, but it's the perspective through which you see that anger. It's the perspective through which you see that fear. It's the perspective through which you see other people in your life. You're looking at them from a loving place, but you're still seeing and sometimes having to create boundaries and say no and draw the line in certain situations, or, you know, do what you need to do or you want to do, rather than what someone else wants to do, because that's truly what you're feeling inside. I mean, most times we're doing things for other people or because we should, because we want to feel comfortable. And the thing is that we spend too much time doing what other people want us to do in order to feel comfortable, and it never seems to work. And what I mean by that is people say, oh, I'm doing this for so-and-so because I want them to be happy. That's not altogether true. Because if you follow the whole theory of we create our own happiness, then, and we're the only ones that can create our own happiness, then whatever you're doing to create your own happiness. And when you're doing it for someone else under the guise of trying to make them happy, it's probably not going to work for either of you, because it will never be enough for the other person, because they'll always look out into the world. And it will never be enough for you, because you'll be looking out into the world. Oh, I must do this so that person will feel happy, and then I'll feel comfortable. So it's a concept that's really sometimes difficult to understand, is that if I learn to say no, and if I learn that I'm never doing anything wrong, and I'm not at fault, and I do what I feel is right to do, then I could go and kill someone and that would be okay. No, that's not what it means. It means everything you do comes from that place of loving yourself enough to do the things that will reinforce that loving presence.
Right.
I hope that makes sense, because it is rather complicated and yet simple at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of comes back to a topic we kind of bring up every year or so, is the ability to have that loving no. You know, that loving no is like a key out of, you know, a very frustrating life. And I know that I've been there in my life and not able to give a loving no, to feel compelled to say yes, to feel compelled to give empty yeses, you know, to say yes and then try to skirt out of it as best as I can, you know. And to that ability, you know, that standing up for oneself to announce a loving no, you know, to establish, say, no, this isn't an experience that I want to have, mm-hmm. is just, it's it actually, I think it's like almost worth a level all on its own. You know, you can elevate yourself a level by incorporating a loving no into your being and being having it be an option for you. I do love that you say, what really resonated to me about what you just said was, you know, how when we do say yes, when we feel out of compulsion, when we do, you know, it is never enough. It's never enough for the other, and it's never enough for yourself. It's kind of never-ending pull on your life. It's an energy that takes and doesn't refill, and it can be really frustrating to get into that spiral. And that part, loving no, is part of the way out of establishing, you know, who it is that you really are, and then really seeing, you know, what you can create in life in terms of relationships that reflect the person that you are more than just the person who always says yes.
Yeah, because when you're doing anything out of obligation or resentment or because you feel you have no choice, then it's going to be felt. Like, that energy is going to be felt by the other person. And that's not creating a loving situation. It's far more beneficial to both parties to say that loving no than to say a resentful yes. Because people feel the difference. And a lot of times when we say no, we say it with guilt. And I think that's something that we need to look at too, is that there's a difference between saying no apologetically and saying a loving no. There really are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know the difference, because when you say a loving no, people will believe you that you mean no. When you say an apologetic no, they'll try and talk you into it. Again, the energy, right? They're feeling that energy.
Oh my God. I just laugh because I just instantly picture like four times in my life where that was absolutely the case.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you never learn to say no, then people will start to take advantage of that, and they won't respect you for saying yes all the time. Especially if you're doing it when you don't want to, and when you're doing it with resentment, right? So,
yeah.
So it's always it's not about always saying no, and it's not about always saying yes. It's about really taking a moment, or a day, or a week, to really be with that request. And to really understand what it is that you personally want to do. And then answering from that place. I think we always want to fill the gap. We want to fill the silence. And when somebody asks us for a favor or whatever, we feel like we have to answer right away. And, that's really not true. I mean, there's no reason why you can't say, you know, can I sleep on it? Or can I, you know, when do I have to give my answer by? Can I give my answer tomorrow, or can I have a week to think? You know, if it's a big decision, and you might want more than a day or an hour or whatever. Sometimes just taking a breath, you know, the more you do it, the more you check in, the more often, the better practiced you get at it. The easier it is to make that decision fairly easily and quickly. But in the beginning, yeah, it takes some time to really, really know. Like, I don't know, if something happens with somebody I know, and afterwards I think, ooh, I feel like they're upset with me. First of all, I have to go with my own philosophy, which is, it wasn't me that upset them. It was something I did that triggered upset in them,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the foundations of what we teach. I have to look at that. Then I have to look at why I feel guilty And what am I worried about? Oh, I'm worried the person's going to be angry with me. Oh, I don't like anger. Okay, so that's one thing that's making me uncomfortable. So I'm already in uncomfortableness. The uncomfortable is I don't like people being angry with me. I feel guilty because there's a part of me that doesn't believe that I'm not responsible. There's all these things. Oh, maybe I should call the person and ask them if they're upset with me. And, so what am I taking care of myself, or am I trying to take care of the other person so that I will feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're going about it in that roundabout way. What if I just give it some time and have some faith that that person will work their way through it? And then guess what happens? That's usually exactly what happens. Okay, it may take a year. Some people are in that space where it might take them a year. But the average person, within a day or two, they're fine. And they work their way through it, just like we all work our way through different things in our lives. So we really have to pay attention to what's going on inside us. What is our motivation for doing everything that we do? And, I'm not saying like I'm picking up this pencil and, what's my motivation? I'm not talking about micromanaging it, but I'm talking about, start with things that are really glaring and in your face and practice on the little things. Why am I having this cookie, or, why am I buying a pound of candy and eating it all? That's mine. But look at those things that are rather obvious and practice with those. And then, as with anything, the more you practice, the more it becomes natural and it becomes your default. Just like you've got to this place where you haven't paid attention, you got there by practicing that. So practice doing it differently, being more aware, paying attention, really checking in with how am I really feeling? What is going on? Am I just trying to smooth things over so I won't be upset? Or am I looking at why I feel guilty? There's a difference. And then it becomes natural. And then in your everyday life, you're doing it. You're just doing it. You're not even having to think that much about it anymore because it has become your daily practice.
Yeah. When you've said yes to something, or you've done something that you've committed to that you don't want to do, like this is really that's a shitty week. You constantly think about it, you dread it, you lose the present moment constantly as it leads up to it. Let's all just stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds easy in theory.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we do it when we become aware and then just keep doing it every time we're aware of something like that happening, it does become easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's a daily practice and they call it that for a reason.
Yeah, so true. Well, here we are at the end of our show already. And Bettina, it'd be just fantastic to send this off with, lots to take away from this episode, and it'd be great to send this off into a meditation and send this off into our week.
Great. I'd love to do that. So let's close our eyes and take a deep breath, breathing deeply into your belly. And as you breathe, feel that oxygen filling every fiber of your being. Feel the energy in every cell of your body. Feel yourself alive and vibrant. Feel the life force flowing through you. Feel life in every second, totally present with every moment. Not thinking about the past or worrying about the future, but being in this moment. And as you take yourself within, pay attention to how you feel. What are you feeling in this moment? Are you feeling loved? Are you feeling peace? Safe? Protected? Or perhaps you're feeling angry and anxious, afraid, guilty, shame. Whatever you're feeling, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, whether it's love or fear. It's what's happening right now for you. So acknowledge it, be with it, and love yourself through everything that you're thinking and feeling and believing. And as you recognize and acknowledge and accept what is happening within you, watch as it flows through you and disappears. And bring yourself back to that loving presence within you that is okay with everything that is happening. That loving presence that accepts and loves, that is wise and compassionate, and always limitless in every way. And each time you want to go into distraction or denial, bring yourself back to this space. And remember who you really are. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us this week. It's a pleasure, and we'll see you all next.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.